This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Thank you so much for being here for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. More details on why Tesla is slipping. Travel Tuesday, how to travel when your kids are in school remotely. It might be easier than you think. Maybe the best time to travel. Right now, lawmakers are back on Capitol Hill trying to finally forge a COVID relief bill. We're joined by Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Andy, we've been hearing about this for weeks, and they've been at an impasse. Do we think that there's maybe a breakthrough here finally?
No, I really don't think so. I mean, the Senate Republicans are going to come up with a plan, but the numbers from Friday on the unemployment rate really made them pretty gun-shy about coming out with a big number. I think it's going to be a skinny bill, a COVID bill, maybe like a half a trillion dollars. That's skinny nowadays.
That's skinny nowadays, is it?
That's right. It is. It makes me feel better. I mean, being a kind of a heavy guy myself. But what I would say is this, is like, there is a big gap between what the House Democrats at about $2.2 trillion, the White House at $1.5 trillion, and the Senate Republicans at a half a trillion. I mean, there's a big gap here, but it doesn't mean they can't come together. I just want to remind everybody, too, that the GDP number for the third quarter is going to be north of plus 25%. So, again, Senate Republicans are pushing back about spending more.
So then where does this go? Because as the election gets closer, I'm guessing there's going to be political pressure on both sides.
Yeah, and it's a great point. And certainly Senate Republicans, I don't know, maybe they're reading the tea leaves of looking at President Trump being so far behind in the polls that they may be pushing back against him to establish some credibility to go back to voters and say we're being fiscally responsible. I would be surprised if they did that, but stranger things have happened. Yeah, I mean, as this race stays pretty, you know, wide in favor of the Democrats, there's going to be increasing pressure from the president on Republicans to do a lot more. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. And then, of course, there's funding the government, which has to happen by the end of the month. So that's always an issue as well.
Then what goes on as far as the pressure on supporting, say, unemployment benefits, which that's going to be needed for a while?
Yeah, there's a really huge debate about this. The $600 extra benefits that were put out there on top of regular state benefits, there was a lot of research that was done that showed that actually kept people away from seeking jobs. I think the CBO came out with about 80% of the people that got that $600. It really boosted their pay above what their jobs were. So we'll see if Republicans, that's something that they're keeping in the back of their mind. But I think they're coming up with something along $300 a week, which would be enough to incent people to go back to work. We'll see what happens. You know, the extended unemployment benefit's been so helpful to so many people. They have to, you know, the Congress and the president continue to need to work on this.
Thanks so much, Andrew Bush. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Just ahead, the World Health Organization calls on countries to be ready for the next pandemic. Pfizer's CEO is concerned that some people will pass on a COVID-19 vaccine, weakening the battle against the virus. We're also hearing from the leader of the World Health Organization today. Let's get the latest now from Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News, based in Minneapolis. Michelle, there's been a little political back and forth on a vaccine and its safety. I'm guessing that's why Pfizer's CEO is speaking out.
the companies that are working on vaccines and the Food and Drug Administration are starting to realize that just having a vaccine is not the end of the process here when it comes to coronavirus. We actually need to get people to be willing to receive the vaccine. That's been a struggle in the U.S. when it comes to influenza and just many other kinds of vaccines. This layer of politics that we have over the entire issue is making it more critical. And so now the companies are coming out and pledging together, Pfizer, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, that they won't go forward unless they have definitive evidence that it works. But the proof's going to be in the pudding.
Because as they're saying, I mean, if they have a vaccine but no one takes it, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do as far as keeping people from getting the virus.
That's exactly it. And we've already heard from the FDA that anything that's more than 50% effective is something that they would consider having met their threshold. So we're looking at a pretty low threshold to begin with. And then with President Trump saying that, you know, there's people in the FDA deep state that are trying to keep the virus from the U.S. and pushing for it to go forward in this incredibly compressed time frame, it does create this veneer of politics and raises questions about whether or not the vaccine is going to be effective.
Yeah, and then you have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris expressing some skepticism, too, which it just seems really odd. I realize it's a campaign and it's heated, but there's literally lives at stake here, and that's probably a big part of it. Yeah, it's what these people are worried about.
Exactly. And as you say, we heard from Biden and Harris that they wouldn't trust anything that came out before the election. But of course, the companies are rushing as fast as they can. As we've talked so many times about this, that everybody is putting so much time and effort and billions of dollars into making this happen as fast as it possibly can. And if they do get the result and it works, if we don't get it to people, 1,000 people are dying a day in the United States. 1,000 people a day. We need urgency here.
So what is the World Health Organization saying? They're already moving, talking about the next pandemic.
Exactly. This has not been the first novel virus that's emerged. It's not going to be the last. You know, it is certainly probably the worst outbreak we've had since 1918, and we could be looking at worse than 1918. We don't know. It depends what this winter looks like. But what they're saying is that this is happening more and more. You know, there's other things that are happening as our world is warming, as humans are becoming more in closer contact with wild animals. We're going to have more of these outbreaks. And hopefully next time we're a little bit better prepared. There is all these efforts that are being rushed. The vaccines, you know, when you create a vaccine, you create it on a platform. You basically, you have the method. You just need to put in different pieces. It's like a recipe, and you just need a couple of different ingredients. The fact that we got here as fast as we could is remarkable, but we could have done it sooner, especially for things like testing, wearing masks. It's just crazy that it's still scientifically unknown whether or not things like wearing a mask is helpful, whether or not your testing accuracy is helping you get the virus under control. So it's those things. The WHO is saying we need to invest in public health. We need to do it worldwide. And when this outbreak is over, the risk to our world is not over.
And maybe a PPE stockpile as well, so we're not scrambling for the healthcare providers especially.
100%. If you need ventilators, why is it so hard to find ventilators? Or you go into the stockpile and you find that it's been there for, you know, 6 years and you plug it in and nothing works. I mean, there is just kind of these very rudimentary things. Who is giving out the vaccines that we have? We have to build all these things that theoretically should have been already in place. Early on, I was talking to a researcher who has a coronavirus lab. He says, if they had been giving me just $1 million a year to continue my research on coronavirus, I would have been ready for this. We would have had it. And now we're spending billions and billions and billions of dollars in just a 1 year period in order to get this under control. It's putting your money in the right place.
Yeah, there will certainly be some changes, I'm guessing, in how money is spent in the future. Thank you, Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Up next, GM makes a huge investment in electric trucks.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
General Motors is taking an 11% stake in electric truck maker Nikola. Let's find out more about the deal. John McElroy is here, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv based in Detroit. John, can I give us some of the nuts and bolts of this deal?
Yeah. Okay. So for those who don't know, Nikola is the name of a startup that wants to build hydrogen fuel cell powered trucks. pickup truck and semi-trucks as well. They're also going to do electric ones. Well, they just gave General Motors $2 billion worth of its own stock, of Nikola stock, so that GM will engineer and manufacture these vehicles and the fuel cell systems for Nikola. And the stock market loves what it's hearing. GM stock is up nearly 10%, one of the biggest gains it's had in a long, long time. Nikola stock is up almost 50% on the news. So that's it in a nutshell there, Cisco.
And so, I mean, this obviously shows that we're moving not only into, I'm guessing, sort of straight up electric vehicles. I mean, explain how this is different than some of the vehicles currently being built.
Well, you know, there are electric cars that you can get right now, but as the industry looks towards the future, it wants to do electric pickup trucks, it wants to do electric semis, and even farther down the road, they're looking at using hydrogen fuel cells. And of course, the reason everyone's doing this is to cut down on CO2 emissions. And there's government regulations in different parts of the world that are pushing this, but the market's also pushing it as well, and that's why GM and Nikola just signed this deal together.
And you may even move into, and we've seen a lot about this, the zero-emission semi-trucks, which, considering all the rigs on the road, would be a huge deal.
It'd be a huge deal, but there's another benefit, too. Once you go electric, and remember, with a fuel cell, all a fuel cell does is it generates electricity, so you don't need batteries. But whether you've got batteries or whether you've got a fuel cell, those electric motors powering a semi, they're really fast. So right now, if you come up to a traffic light, you don't want to be behind a semi. It takes them forever to get going again. That's not the case with electrics. You're going to see semis being able to keep up with traffic, whether they're on grades, on hills, or leaving a stoplight.
Really going to be interesting to see how this moves forward. That is John McElroy. Nikola stock today, by the way, up 48%. So as John mentioned, Wall Street really likes this. You can find John McElroy online at autoline.tv. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, staying plugged into work and school while getting away from home. Kind of a bonus of education at home.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Mike Krauser, a first day of school for CPS students like no other.
More than 20 large wildfires are now scorching California. In Travel Tuesday, taking remote learning and telecommuting on the road, the price of oil takes a dip. We'll find out what's impacting energy markets. WBBM Business, the Dow down 359 points, the NASDAQ down 303, and the S&P is down 58 points. Oil today is down right about 8%. We have clouds throughout Chicagoland, some rain falling, especially north of the city. Right now, it's 64 degrees. The academic year is underway for most Chicago public school students from their own homes. WBBM's Mike Krauser reports.
About 400,000 CPS students kick off the school year at home. No first day jitters, not in the traditional sense. No bus rides, no socializing, but a lot of uncertainty. Some parents will be serving as IT techs, those who can be at home. CPS CEO Dr. Janice Jackson says this will be a school year unlike any other, and there will be challenges. Everything parents need to know can be found at cps.edu/reopening2020. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 FM.
California is suffering through a major wildfire season, and there is not much hope for relief.
There are now around two dozen major wildfires burning all over the state. Fire crews are dealing with incredibly dry conditions. One of the newest fires is the Bobcat Fire just outside L.A. Steve Goldman is an incident commander.
There's very heavy fuel. It's very dry. We're in drought.
And in the weather forecast, potentially dangerous Santa Ana winds, which could make things even worse. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Remember, whether you're on the road or at home, if you have a smart speaker, all you have to do is tell it to play WBBM News Radio and a podcast of the Noon Business Hour, available anytime on our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com, and the Radio.com app.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are seeing red today. The Dow down 338, NASDAQ down 290, and the S&P down 56. Let's see what's going on. Tim Grisky is here, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council, based in New York. Tim, it's good to have you back on the show. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Good afternoon, Cisco. Well, it's another down day for stocks. We've had, this would be the third day in a row where we've seen selling, especially in the technology sector. There has been really no fundamental news causing this sell-off. This appears to be simply a correction in, given the run-up, especially in technology over the last several months. This could continue, certainly, some profit-taking, but it is setting that group up in particular for a big bounce back once the tide turns again.
Yeah, so there's really no justification for what's going on in tech?
Well, I think the only thing we've come up with is the comments we've seen from President Trump in terms of his intention to curb U.S. economic relations with China. In other words, he's talking about applying massive tariffs to Chinese goods and perhaps a ban on importing some products and perhaps penalties on companies that are doing business in China or making goods in China. Now, we've heard this from the administration before a number of times. There was nothing specific in his discussions. But if there's any fundamental topic that we're looking at, this could probably be it.
Talk about what's going on with Tesla. That stock is getting hammered. It just missed getting on the S&P.
Yeah, well, it did not make it into the S&P 500. And I think, you know, that was a bit of a disappointment, at least for some holders. But it's gotten just caught up in this whole profit-taking that's gone on in the broad market, especially in tech and tech-related names. And Tesla is certainly a tech-related name. This company produces a great product, but it's extremely leveraged. It's just got a huge amount of debt out, and it's going to increasingly have competition. I'm not surprised to see this stock get hit more than the overall market here.
Has that made it surprising that Tesla has had that run on stock? It seems like every time it hits a new high, people say, oh, it can't go any higher, and then it does.
Right. Well, it's just a herd mentality. I think the product really attracts people. I think that helps investors feel good about it. We'd be very cautious with this stock over the long term, given the amount of debt and given the pending competition that this company is going to see going forward.
We're getting mixed word from Washington on whether or not there'll be any sort of another round of pandemic stimulus. Do you think that an idea of stimulus, this sort of as a foregone conclusion, that is baked into this market? Might we see a pullback if Washington doesn't do anything?
Well, I think investors certainly expect some support. You know, it's really the hourly workers that are getting hurt the most by the pandemic and the economic downturn. And they're the ones who really need the support here. So it is expensive for our country and it inflates the deficit. But that over time can be worked off. I think it's better that we take care of our population, our people, than worry about the short-term financial implications for it.
Always good insight from Tim Grisky. Thanks so much for being with us. Tim is Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council, based in New York. Just ahead, it's Travel Tuesday, heading out while staying in touch with school and work. If your kids are learning remotely, this may be a good time for you to take a little trip.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday. This afternoon, we're learning about learning and working while you're away from home. We welcome Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com here in Chicago. Cindy, the idea here is if the kids are learning remotely so you have the ability to travel, well, then maybe you should think about traveling.
Absolutely. It's a great time if you feel comfortable doing that. There's some amazing deals to be had, and the resorts that are dying for guests have some great deals.
So what are the keys to consider if you decide, all right, yeah, I'll go ahead and try it, take a trip and let the kids learn on the road?
Well, you know, it's no different than it is really being at home. They're still going to have to go to school during the day. So the number one thing is to have great Wi-Fi. You know, Airbnb announced last week that searches for rentals of 28 days or longer is huge. It's their biggest increase, right? They're seeing those long-term rental requests, but you just never know when you go to an Airbnb, right? Are you going to have decent Wi-Fi? So you want to make sure that you're taking Wi-Fi with you and you buy a really good hotspot before you go, so the teacher doesn't know that they're zooming in from the lakeside cabin.
Yeah. So what you don't want is for the child to have palm trees behind them when they're when they're zooming into class.
Exactly.
Anything specifically, if you're looking on, say, for example, Airbnb, that parents should be looking for other than the Wi-Fi?
Well, I think the Wi-Fi is the most important. You know, if you're really trying to make it a learning experience, it's really nice to coordinate where you're going with what the kids are doing. For example, if their classwork is about some cultural thing, if, for example, they're learning about Mexico and you feel comfortable traveling internationally, you could look for a place in Mexico. And you know that the lessons really get driven home in a way if they experience them for real, as opposed to just learning about them in school.
You mentioned that there are resorts that really want to get guests there. Are they offering any special packages, perks, anything like that to try to attract these people?
Absolutely. A lot of them are offering, I mean, you can get as much as 50% off a hotel room if you can stay 14 to 21 days or longer. They really want to fill those rooms. And, you know, Cisco, the rich, they're just like us. So there's a resort in Anguilla that has a deal for just $110,000 for a month, if you book it for the month, but it comes with quarters for your nanny and your tutor. So you can bring the kids along and they can continue to be cared for and learn while you're working from the resort.
So maybe 40 of us will get together and just split that package, maybe. That might work.
Well, and, you know, there's also a resort in Florida that has a rent the floor deal. You rent four of the suites on the floor and you get the whole floor so you can be socially distant. So we could all get together, four of us, and we could rent it and not have to worry about people we don't know hanging out with us.
I'm wondering, for parents who do this, who decide to travel, as you mentioned, they're searching for basically 1 month or longer rentals. I wonder if it just helps your mental well-being, because if you're around the house all day long with the kids doing work, you're thinking about everything that needs to be done around the house in addition to having to help the kids. It seems like the escape might really make this all easier.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes just looking at four different walls is really what you need, especially after having been locked down for as long as we've been locked down.
So are people on their own, whether it's Airbnb or other sites, kind of deciding where to go? Are airlines at all helping out with any kind of package deals?
You know, I think this is really the year of the road trip for families. So most people are going someplace that they feel comfortable with. And frankly, with the quarantine rules, depends on what state you're going. People are often just staying in state. But, you know, you could look around Illinois, or if you're in Indiana or Wisconsin, look around your states. You could find a nice Airbnb rental on a lake. And, you know, the kids could do their schoolwork during the day. And then recess could be kayaking at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that I think would be very, very enjoyable. Good advice. Thank you for all the detail, Cindy Richards. She is editor-in-chief of TravelingMom.com. That's Travel Tuesday. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, an update on the energy markets as oil is down right about 8% today.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Summer travel season has just ended. Let's update the price of gas and oil as we head into the fall. Phil Flynn is here, senior market analyst at Price Group, also a Fox Business News contributor. Phil, you just heard us mention oil down 8% today. What's going on?
It's the September swoon, right? I'll tell you, you know, September traditionally is a bad month for oil prices. Refiners usually go into maintenance, the summer driving season's over, and usually have a very rough month in September, and that's proving to be true this year. And probably even more so because of Hurricane Laura that we had on the Gulf Coast, you know, a couple weeks ago. That shut down a lot of refineries. It did a lot of damage. So these refiners are going to take a longer period to come back online. But then there was another thing. Saudi Arabia cut their costs for crude oil. They're saying, hey, demand's a little weak. We're lowering our prices. And that sent a signal to the market that maybe globally demand is starting to falter a bit. The Saudis, you know, dropped hints later that, no, that's not the case. The market's tight. It's just a seasonal price drop. But the market's not buying it right now. In fact, they're not buying anything right now.
With the pandemic economy, it seems really difficult for energy experts to be able to say, hey, when is this going to rebound? When is demand going to get anything close to what it was a year ago?
You know, it's come back a lot further than people thought it would. But let's face it, you know, until people start flying and people start going back to work, it's going to take some time to get back to normal. But we have to look at the new normal, right? The new normal is we've seen U.S. production fall pretty dramatically. We've seen OPEC cut production. And we do see signs that demand globally is going to continue to improve. So even though we're hitting this tough patch right now for demand, we expect the fourth quarter to really improve. Add in a little winter weather. I don't want to bring that up. You know, we can see some higher prices as we go. The bottom line is that despite the weakness this week and maybe next week, the overall picture is that the global market is still tightening. Unless we have a major setback with the coronavirus, we expect demand to continue to edge higher.
And everyone's wondering what that means for prices at the pump.
Well, I think you're getting a little bit of a post-holiday drop, right? You're going to see these Arbot prices come back down. And we can say goodbye to that Chicago summer blend of gasoline. Good riddance, right? We can put that back on the shelf till next summer. And now we can start focusing, you know, on lower prices. I do think, though, that even though prices will drop here in the short term, we don't expect them to fall too far. We think prices are going to level off and start going up, you know, because refiners are going to be a lot more, you know, judicious when they make supplies in here in the future.
And so drivers need to certainly keep that in mind as they might be planning some fall weekends away. Thank you so much, Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst at Price Group. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, the replay podcast will be available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.